Here's another verse that they quote out of context, slap it back at you and I, trying to suck us into this, that somehow we should never judge. And once again, they twist the words of Jesus. Shocker. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And Jesus is speaking, and this is what it says. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. How many of you guys heard that quoted? Even by non-Christians. Okay? And he says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it's going to be measured to you. It's usually how it comes across, right? Well, there you have it, folks. We just read the Bible, okay? The Bible says we should never judge another person, no matter what they believe, no matter what they do, no matter what they say. We just got to love and accept them and tolerate them, right? Wrong answer. Woo, that was cool. Wrong answer. That's right. That'll wake you up. Give it up for sound problems. That's right. Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you this is another one of the biggest lies that's being perpetrated on you and I, the church, especially in these last days, okay? And believe it or not, it's preparing us for this one world religion. And the reason why I know it's a lie is because, folks, if we were not supposed to judge anything or anyone, no matter what they believe, say, or do, including their supposed version of God, then why did Jesus say this in John 7, not just Matthew 7? Read the context there. We'll get to that in a second. Why did Jesus say this in John? You want to pick some words of Jesus? Pick this one, too. Here's what Jesus said. Stop judging. Now, don't stop there. Keep reading. He says, by what? Mere appearances. And then, you still don't stop. He says, and then you get busy what? You make a right judgment. Okay? Now, that's from Jesus there, folks. He isn't saying we should never judge. Okay? He didn't say never to make a judgment. All he said was, when you do make a judgment, it needs to what? It needs to be right. In other words, get your facts straight before you jump the gun. Right? He didn't say never judge. And then, if we're never supposed to judge, then why the Apostle Paul say this one? I don't know how you get around this one. This is hilarious, folks. 1 Corinthians 6:1-5, Paul says this to the church. The church was not dealing with matters in the church. The church was taking each other before the world to deal with their problems. And Paul calls them on the carpet. And he says this, are you kidding me? He says, church, if any of you has a dispute with one another, it's going to happen. Okay? He says, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment? Instead of before the saints, the church, what are you doing? He says, do you not know that the saints will what? Judge the world. And if we are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge the angels? How much more the things in this life? Especially church matters. Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Because what were they not doing? They weren't judging in the church. Is it possible, he says, that there's nobody among you in the whole church wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? How many times did it say judge in just those few verses? Folks, according to the Bible, I think it's pretty clear. It sounds like we Christians are not only supposed to be judging, we're supposed to be judging up a storm, right? That's what it says there. And so the question is, why in the world do people quote Matthew 7, okay, do not judge, lest you be judged. And why do they quote that and say that we're never supposed to judge? Well, hello, it's because they're quoting it out of context. Matthew 7 is dealing with a hypocritical judgment. If you read the context of where a person is judging somebody else of doing something when they themselves are guilty of doing the same thing, in fact, possibly even worse. And the way that we know that is because the text says that one person who's judging has a log in their eye. How many guys say that that really hurts when you drive? Yeah, okay, it's a hazard. Okay, you got a log in your eye, but the only person, by contrast, has a what? A speck in their eye, okay? But listen, it still doesn't stop there. It does not say don't ever judge. It tells you what to do. It says you first take the log out of your eye, then sit there and say nothing? No, then you can rightly judge to remove that speck from the other person's eye, right? The whole point of the passage of Matthew 7 and John 7 is not to say that we are never supposed to judge, but exactly the opposite. It says you are supposed to judge, but before you judge, get rid of your hypocrisy first and make sure you get your facts straight. Right? And in essence, it really isn't you and I, the Christian, who's doing the judging. Just like in a court of law that we have today, we're judges in the sense that we are upholding the law. Right? That's what a judge does. He upholds the law of the land. And as Christians, we're not really judging them. We're upholding God's law on what He says is right and wrong. So the problem really isn't with you and I. It's with God. And I don't recommend you take a fight up with Him because you're going to lose every time. And yet, this is what the ecumenical movement is saying, even in the church, that we should never do, Christians. We should never judge between right and wrong. We just got to accept everything is right and that nothing is wrong. Have you guys heard that? And this is their buzz phrase for all that, what I just explained to you. We just need to tolerate. Isn't that what it is? Just love one another, and we tolerate one another. But here's the problem, as we saw before, folks. We're going to take a look at it again. As we saw before, they've changed the definition of tolerance on us. That used to be a good term. We would put up with something not especially liked or loved. You know, like it was, and we're going to see this in a second. You know, we would love the sinner, but hate the sin. That's what it used to mean, but they changed it now. As this guy shares. Let's take a look at what they've done to us, and their snookers into falling in for this lie as well. Let's take a look.
Some of you say, wait a minute, I thought tolerance was good. That's the problem. That's the problem. Little Johnny comes home from school, and that very sincere Christian mother from the most fundamental evangelical church meets little Johnny, says, honey, how was school today? Oh, mommy, what'd you talk about? We talked about tolerance. And that Christian mother goes, oh, that's wonderful. You know, Jesus taught us to be tolerant. Absolutely not. That mother is undermining everything that she believes, and it won't take years. It'll only take months to come back and haunt her. Say, wait a minute, I don't get this. The reason is this. Right now, there's two distinct, separate definitions of tolerance. One, I call historical or traditional tolerance. It's the one that almost every one of us has here been conditioned to think by. And how you're listening to me through traditional tolerance, I am speaking from a whole new definition of tolerance. Traditional tolerance would be defined by Webster. To bear or put up with someone or something not especially liked. Or in our circles we'd say, you know, God has called me as a Christian to love the sinner, but to hate the sin. That's one of the most bigoted statements you can make today. You make that average statement in average classroom today, and that entire class would turn on you. The bigotry, the intolerance to say, love the sinner, hate the sin. The reason is, there's a second definition of tolerance. And I would say 80% of the time, outside the walls of the church, when you hear the word tolerance, whether the media, magazine, school, or what, it is not the tolerance you're conditioned to think by. It's a whole new definition of tolerance. 80% of the time, it's a new definition. The tolerance you were brought up with is now referred to as negative tolerance. The new tolerance is called positive tolerance. It's defined this way. Every single individual's values, beliefs, lifestyle, and claims to truth are equal. Let me repeat that. All values, all beliefs, all truth, all lifestyles are equal. And if you dare to say there's a value, belief, a lifestyle, or claim to truth greater than another, that is called hierarchy, and that's the new definition of bigotry. A bigot today has nothing to do with racism or anything. A bigot today is someone who's committed to moral hierarchy, that there's difference in values, beliefs, lifestyle, or claims to truth. Positive tolerance adds the word praise. And what it means is this, we not only want your permission, we demand your praise. And if you do not praise my value, my lifestyle, my claim to truth, as equal to your own, now listen to this, as equal to your own from the heart, you are a bigot and you are intolerant. From the heart. It's called positive tolerance. Let me show you just how it's hit the church, just in a little brief one. Can you tell me, historically, what's been the number one verse quoted from the Scriptures by Christians, non-Christian, Christian young people, non-Christian young people, the media, everything? What's the number one verse quoted historically by the Scriptures? John 3:16. Do you know what it is now? Have you all been listening? Have you been listening to your own young people? Can anyone tell me now, by far way out front of everything, what's the number one verse quoted even by Christian young people from the Bible? Number one now, what is it? Judge not that you be not judged. Listen! Why? The moment you make a judgment, you're saying there's hierarchy. And that makes you a bigot and intolerant. We better wake up.
Where are they getting that idea? Schools? Media? We'll get to that in a second. But why do you say we need to wake up? Because here's where it's being corralled into, Christian. Church. Because everything we believe in as Christians is at risk. This new definition of tolerance that they put out there is now meaning that, guess what, Christian, you and I are going to become the new enemy of the state. That's where it's headed. Because we're intolerant. We're right-wing extremists. We're fundamentalists. We won't go along with this one world religion. How dare you be so bigoted? How dare you be so intolerant? Don't you know that it's religious wars that are the major causes? All that we believe in, all of Christianity, all of the Bible, all of Scripture is based on absolute rights and wrongs that come from God. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, not one of many. The Bible declares that there is only one God, not several, or that we can become gods. The very Ten Commandments are what? Absolute judgments of right and wrong from God. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not lie, you shall not steal, you shall not commit idolatry, on and it goes, from God. He says you shall not tolerate that. Plus, think about it. How can all values be equal? It'll never work. It's a lie. What if somebody's value, and this is true, people, what if it was their value to molest their children? Is that right? Am I supposed to accept that? If you bought into this new definition of tolerance, you would have to say yes, but common sense, logic, and certainly the Bible in your heart says no. This is what it's leading to, folks. What if another person's value was to teach their children to steal for a living? What if it was a mother's value to teach her daughter a fulfilling lifestyle called prostitution? What if a father had a value that he felt is so important to pass along to his son, that of being an abuser of women? Now, can I tell you something? Pay attention in the religious context. Some religions right now today do teach those things. Women are treated as prostitutes. In different religions, they are forced into subservient lifestyles. They even are killed if the husbands don't like them. Am I supposed to tolerate that? In some religious cultures today, people get their hands chopped off for stealing or their heads chopped off for disagreeing. Am I supposed to agree with that? Do I tolerate that? If I say something against that and speak out against that, am I being intolerant? This is where we're headed. And listen, if you study history, it's true biblical Christianity that has freed people historically from these tyrannous belief systems by the standard of right and wrong being set by God. No, you don't chop somebody's head off and you don't treat a woman like a slave. Christianity has freed the culture from that. But now true, genuine Christian love and God's truth is being labeled as intolerant. This is what the ecumenical movement is getting the church to buy into. What do you say? What's the number one quoted verse right now among Christian people? Judge not, lest you be judged. It makes sense, doesn't it? And this is what they want us to be. We can't judge now between what is right and wrong. We can't preach the Bible. We can't say that Jesus is the only way. We can't say anything on moral issues. We have to accept everything. We have to tolerate anything is right and nothing is wrong. It's all happening right now before our very eyes. The church is even caving in on it. And it's all part of forming a one-world religion that the Bible said is going to happen when you're living in the last days.